for listening to the Widnes Rugby Chat podcast, available every Wednesday on iTunes, Spotify, Audioboom and widnesrugby.com.
On this week's show, no guests I'm afraid, so it's just me on the Oldham game and looking ahead to Batley on Sunday. Hello and welcome to Widnes Rugby Chat episode 38 with me, James Gordon. Thanks, as always, to our sponsors, Musical All Sorts, PD Law Solicitors, Deals the Jewellers and Arnold Gorse Financial Management. I've roped Josh McAllister into helping me with this week's show because we've not got a player or a coach guest, Josh. Thanks very much.
Yes.
You're strictly being paid to do this.
I am, yes.
So it's a result. It's a result for you.
And I'll just ask you a few questions and it's as easy as that.
Good, yeah,
well,
good.
Go back to the start if you want. You're a Widnes fan, but born in Warrington. How does that come about?
Oh, you've gone straight in at the deep end. I am from Warrington, but my dad and all his family are from Widnes, so my dad took me to watch Widnes. That was it, basically. Because even though I was born in Warrington, neither my mum or dad are from Warrington. That's just obviously where they live. So, when you look at what they've done in my lifetime, it's probably gone bad for me, to be fair. Obviously you look at Warrington being fairly successful, certainly in comparison to Widnes, but you know, just one of those things. You can't change who you support, Josh.
You can't. Do you remember your first game?
Yeah, my first game was Widnes' first Super League game against St Helens, 2002.
I'd have been four then, to make sure.
Yeah. Well, I was. What would I be? I was 13. Widnes got beat 15-14. Because I think when I'd got to the age where I was, I'd followed Widnes for a few years before that. But when they obviously were in the old Northern Four Premiership, the games were on Sundays and they used to play football on Sundays. So, and back then. The league hadn't long. I think the majority of the games were still in the winter months. I think when Widnes got promoted, the grand final was like July, whereas obviously it's a bit different to now when the grand final would be October, September. So, it had never really got on my radar to go games necessarily when I was because I was busy playing football. But obviously when they got into Super League and you had the Sky games, like the Friday, Saturday night games, it meant that I could get into them a bit more regularly, and then basically just got a season ticket pretty much straight away, and then
Do you have sort of a favourite player, or do you have a first favourite player and a favourite player now as such?
I wouldn't say I have a favourite player now. I remember.
I'd say you would, Matty Smith.
Matty Smith, no, just because he was in the office last week. No.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, obviously, because of what I do, it's obviously been very. It's funny, actually, because I'd almost made a conscious decision. When I was growing up, I won't give away my football club allegiance at this point. But I grew up supporting a football team, and then I'd got to the point where I thought that I needed to maybe curb that, because if I wanted to be a sports journalist, I couldn't support a team. And obviously, rugby then crept up on me, and all of a sudden rugby became much more important. And obviously, for the last 20 years, or nearly, well, yeah, the last 20 years, I've basically been a diehard Widnes fan, as well as trying to be a journalist, you know what I mean? So I suppose I only really had. I mean, I started working rugby league journalism like maybe 13, 14 years ago. So I'd only been watching Widnes maybe 5 or 6 years at that point. But I think from the first Super League spell, it had been Jules O'Neill. I think would have been my favourite player from that era. I think he was obviously. He was obviously a good player, obviously Australian player. He's very good player to watch. You know, like he could run a game on his own. Do you know what I mean? He could win a game on his own, and He was good running with the ball, had a good kicking game. They had a bit of a... He was mainly a standoff, but he had a spell where he played at fullback. This was... I suppose this was quite before... The modern-day trend is obviously that people have shifted halfbacks to fullback. But Jules O'Neill sort of did this in like the 2000s before that became fashionable, really. The only player's name I've ever had on the back of my shirt was... I had Thackeray on the back of my shirt in about... I don't know what year that would have been. That might have been 2009, 2010. That's the only time I've ever had a player's name on a shirt. But yeah, I mean, obviously there was players in that the late 2000s era like Mark Smith and stuff like that. I remember I was pretty disappointed in the club when they got rid of Mark Smith, to be honest. It's always nice to have players who are loyal to a club and that are the captain for a long period of time. And I felt that the way... I understand that obviously coaches and whoever have to make decisions about players and stuff, but I still think I'm a big believer that it as much as I know sport's cutthroat, I still think there's a little bit of room for a bit of loyalty and a bit of... I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you know what I mean? A bit of compassion, a bit of loyalty. And to be fair, that happened quite a bit under the previous owner's sort of regime. I thought that they, even when they got rid of Steve McCormack, I thought that was quite, they sacked him after one game of the season. But I even remember the first year after administration, the 2008, and they just got rid of, there was like Bob Bezic and Paul Noon and Ian Hardman. I always remember that those three were just sort of cut at the end of that one season. And they were all, I mean, Hardman and Noon were both Widnes lads, so they knew what the drill was. Bezic was obviously a good player. And I think, I don't know why, but them three always stick in my mind from that season, because them three players then went on and played at the top of the championship for the next however many years. So obviously it was the wrong decision to get rid of them. So yeah.
And you touched on it a little bit then. I asked Phil Wilkinson the same question a few years ago at Wigan Today. Sort of the transition of becoming a supporter to a journalist and covering the sport, does it affect how much you can support your club or how you see your club because you're also working alongside it? Do you feel like you support the club, not less, but a bit differently because you're also working it?
I'd got to a point where I realised the priority for me was watching Widnes. So, I mean, I went on a run of games. I didn't miss a game for about 4 years. And I was, like, not taking work on because I didn't want to miss the Widnes game. So, I'd get offers to cover Super League games. And I'd be like, no, I can't do that this week because I'm going, Widnes are playing Hunslet.
Some dedication.
Hunslet or someone like that. So, I think, certainly, I'd say, in that period, because you're looking at maybe I don't even know how old I am now. I'd finished uni maybe 10 years or so ago, and I was in the big wide world sort of thing, and I had to start, and I just sort of held back, and I've been lucky that I've been able to grow my own thing. Do you know what I mean? In many ways, I've run my business for 10 years now, so in some ways that almost helped me support Widnes more, because I could fix my work around, because I have every sympathy for fans who struggle to make games because they, they've got to work or they can't get someone to cover the shift or all that. Whereas I'd got to a point where it was like pretty much the only constant in my week was the Widnes game, especially when I started my business. I think it's changed a little bit over the past few years. I think I've been a bit more... I mean, the reality is that all journalists support a team. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the odd one that maybe doesn't. But, the whole reason why I got into rugby league in the first place was because I supported Widnes, do you know what I mean? So I think... And you see it in football as well. And I think it has become a little bit more acceptable in recent years to sort of show your allegiance. And I don't think it impacts my integrity or my professionalism. And I think if you spoke to people, peers of mine or colleagues of mine, they all know that I'm a staunch Widnes fan, but I don't think they would ever say that it it impacts my judgment as a...
Yeah, because a few years ago, journalists might have been scared to say who they support because of the backlash that could have come from it.
Yeah, and it's just like, I think I'd got comfortable. I'm comfortable with it. You know, I must admit, probably four or five years ago, I wouldn't have been as open. Not that I've never not been open about it, but what I mean is I would maybe not said things that I would say now. But I do think that people understand that you support a team or whatever, and I think I've proven that I can be objective and I can still be professional about my job, but then at the same time I can still support my team. And I've always tried to keep a line, so in, you know, between the two. So, you know, I pay for my season ticket and I pay to get into witness games, just as I would as a fan, even though I've got my press. I could, in theory, go and sit in the press box every witness game. But you know, you could probably count on one hand the number of games that I've done in press at witness. Because I'd always been like, well, no, this is my, you know, I'm going because I'm a fan.
The club.
Yeah, and obviously you want to club. Yeah, you want to put the money in the club. And
now more than ever, especially at witness.
Well, yeah, and, you know, so... I think the administration thing was really interesting because I felt like that was the real first time that I wouldn't say that people didn't appreciate me, but it was really nice to get comments off people during that time that sort of were thanking me for my coverage of what was going on, and that was really nice to have got that. And I didn't do it for that purpose. I was just combining being a fan and being a journalist to the best of my ability, and obviously people found that useful. So, you know, I remember I went to the press conference when the administrators were there, and can't get my words out. And you know, so I've walked into the club that I support, and there's two administrators there basically saying that the club's going to go under. And the room was pretty full, and I think I asked the first 10 questions at the press conference or something like that, because I asked plenty of questions at press conferences, but I just felt at that point that it was me, it sounded a bit cheesy, it was my responsibility to ask them questions, because I don't feel like the other people in the room, the journalists in the room, would have asked questions. But obviously with me, with my witness fans hat on, there was questions in there that I felt that needed to be asked. You know, and that, you know, it's funny because, you know, you try and keep that boundary between the two things, but I still get to experience things that obviously you wouldn't as a fan. So obviously I go, you know, I've been to press conferences. I remember the one that I remember is got an email at 7:30, and it was like a Tuesday morning or something, or Wednesday morning. Witness are going to announce the Super League coach at 10:30. So this was 2011. Dennis Betts was the coach, and Witness had sent this. It was like they'd sent it like 7:30 in the morning, and the press conference was going to be like 10:30. So it was like, well, what's going on here? So it's like, then you're like wondering what the hell's going on, and obviously go to the ground, and then you sat there, and no one's really got a clue what's happening, and then, you know, Dennis Betts just walks in and they've just announced him, and you just think, oh, you just wasted, like, you know, because that's eating into my working day, and it's just like you just wasted 5-6 hours of faffing around for them to just say that the current coach is going to be the coach next season. Do you know what I mean? It's just like there's some stories and some bits and bobs like that that are interesting, that you get to experience that obviously you wouldn't normally.
You don't have to worry too much about that these days because there's no secrets in rugby, is there?
Well, I mean, sometimes there is, but yeah, I think that was just quite reflective on the way that the old owners used to run the club. Do you know what I mean? They would run it like it was a bit like a secret society, and I don't think that that's the way to run a sports club. I think, you know, I've worked with lots of clubs, lots of people, lots of different sports, and I think the bottom line is I don't think any club that tries to hide things is ever that successful. What have you got? Like, it was interesting. I seen a piece this week that you might have seen. The Castleford physio had released like a big, they'd done like a blog on the website where they were describing, I forget what player it was now, where they were describing his injury. And obviously I remember at Widnes under the overage, they wouldn't even tell you if a player was injured because I don't know why, but it's like that. As much as you might not agree that fans need to know that,
It's a good insight, isn't it? The more open you can be.
Yeah, but the thing is fans want to know that. That's one of the key
the
things that fans... As much as a club thinks, oh, well, we don't want the fans to know, well, the fans are the paying customers, and they're, you know, it's a bit like in business. You know, you say the client's always right. Well, you know, in
fans
sport, the fans,
injuries,
the fans, you know, the fans are so important, and ultimately you don't have a club. And you look at, I seen Kevin Brown at the Warrington game and the other night, and I was saying to him, oh, we finally got rid of Rooley and all that, and he was saying, oh, yeah, it was just a little bit too late, and he was saying, how's it all going? And I said, well, to be honest, I think Widnes are in a much better position now than they were when they were in Super League, because no matter how successful the club is on the pitch, and don't get me wrong, if they lose a few games, the fans are going to get on the back. But if you look at how, like, the fans are behind the club, the crowds are probably going to be better now than they were in Super League. And all that is just because there's a transparency and a bit of openness from the club. It's not an us and them scenario. It's a, you know, we're all part of the same thing. And so...
Which is a credit to their media as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and obviously, you know, obviously I know Sam pretty well, and you know, and I've known Sean. I don't know him, but I've known of him and seen him at the press box, and you know, even when he was at Rochdale and stuff. But that's just such a simple thing that them guys have been able to do, and it shouldn't be underestimated what that does, because they are the gateway between the club and the fans, and obviously the clubs don't have huge marketing budgets or anything, so the staff are so important. The attitude of the staff and the way that they conduct themselves, they're the gatekeepers, if you like, to the club. And I think, you know, I think that's quite important. And I always remember speaking to he wasn't at Wakefield for too long, but I remember there was an old chief exec at Wakefield called James Elston, and I remember him saying to me that you've got to make it as easy as possible to be a fan. And I always felt that under the old regime at Widnes, it felt difficult to be a fan. Do you know what I mean? It was, you know, you couldn't pay cash on the turnstile. You didn't know who was injured. You know, you couldn't find information. Like, you couldn't buy tickets online. You couldn't buy season tickets online and stuff like that. And I just think all of those things, fans aren't trying to be difficult. They're not trying to work you out. They're not trying to figure you out. They just want to support the best way that they can. And if you can, you know, enable them to be able to support, then that's it. I mean, yeah, you could make the argument that clearly the old regime were trying to hide a few things because, you know, fingers were in the till, allegedly, and all that sort of thing. But I just think the way, you know, if Widnes ever do get back into Super League, they're going to be in such a better position because the club's going to be behind them. You know, yeah, it was interesting actually speaking to Kev about that last at the Warrington game actually, but yeah.
And apart from, you know, across your many years at rugby, apart from my hometown of Blackpool Bloomfield Road, what would you say is your favourite stage you've been to? You went to France with Drew not so long ago, because
Bloomfield
you're still
Road.
Talking on about it. But what would you say is your favourite stadium?
I must admit, I would have always said Oddsall was my favourite away ground. But I must
admit, which is controversial. I'd never been, and people will say, you know, I don't expect too much. But then I went last year, and people say it's a hole in the ground. I thought it was an alright stadium.
I must admit, I was a little bit, when Widnes played there last season, it has obviously gone into a bit of a state now. Mm-hmm. I mean, not, you know, you wouldn't say, there was like parts of it shut off and stuff, but
you'd be fit working there, because I think I had to climb about 1,000 steps to get my press pass,
and
1,000 steps to go somewhere else, and 1,000 steps to be told to go to this place. I think by the end of it, my count step would have been 10,000.
I think, I think Oddsall, when it, you know, Oddsall maybe, you know, 10 years ago, you know, when there's a decent crowd in and stuff, and it's weird actually to say Oddsall, because the best grounds are the ones that are covered, because obviously you get a good atmosphere, and obviously you don't have that at Bradford. But then Bradford was actually the first away ground that I went to watching Widnes, so I don't know whether that's got something to do with it. Other than that, favourite grounds,
is that because I said you can't say Bloomfield? Struggling a bit.
No, I mean, I'm not. Bloomfield's all right. I mean, it's funny actually, because I think one of my worst Widnes memories was at Bloomfield Road when they lost to Batley in the Northern Rock Cup final.
Oh, yeah.
I actually missed the 2007 Northern Rock Cup final, because I was on holiday. Obviously, I'd not expected Widnes to get to the final, and obviously gone on holiday, and obviously they got to the final. And I remember I was out, I went to like a water park or something. And I was like, oh, I need to get back so I can watch the match. It was on Sky. I was like, I need to get back to the hotel so I can watch the match. And obviously I was running late, got home, and the, you know, like the clips at half time were coming on. And I was like, oh, witness, they've obviously scored a try or whatever. And it was witness winning 30-0. So I was like, I should have just stayed at the water park, shouldn't I? But yeah. Other grounds. I like. Obviously, I used to like going to Catalan. That was obviously. I mean, as much as it's, I don't go for the reasons that I mean, I don't drink, so you know, going on the lash for a weekend isn't. Yeah, you know, isn't my cup of tea. Loretta. Yeah, so a lot of fans go to Loretta. Whereas for me, you know, going to Catalan was just about going to the rugby. You know, it's just about going to the match, and obviously it is a ball ache. You know, it was definitely a ball ache the first year when we went and got beat 76-6 or whatever it was. You know, because you've gone Friday to Monday or whatever just to watch 80 minutes of rugby. I remember one year flying out of Stansted, me and my dad had driven to Stansted to Perpignan, and then had to fly back on the Sunday, and then drove all the way from Stansted back. And other grounds, I mean, I know a lot of people like Batley. I mean, I don't mind Batley per se, but it's not. It doesn't.
Yeah, Batley's right. They've got that sort of.
Doesn't jump out
that
at me.
Sort
is
of
it?
Fan bit behind the stadium, don't they?
Yeah,
so
the stadium, I just think
when I went, there's a bit of a stage.
Yeah, they have like a bit of a fan zone thing. Yeah, yeah, I mean, people seem to like Batley, but I've never been. You know, I just take it or leave it. Do you know what I mean?
A club that owned that sort of ground, you'd be happy, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, obviously,
there's many clubs like Swinton that are sort of.
Well, Wigan are trying to do that, aren't they, now, with the little Robin Park thing, just to get people.
I saw that. I like
Warrington. I like Warrington's ground. I mean, granted, it's only like 10 minutes up the road, so obviously
that's
that,
convenient as well.
And maybe that's a reason for it. You know what I mean? Don't know.
You
but
can park at work and walk over. For
yeah,
free.
Yeah. But yeah, maybe that's it. But yeah, I think obviously won't be going odd till this season because they're playing at Dewsbury. So.
Yeah. A little bit on this season, top of the championship, but only one game in, so we'll get two.
I said to someone the other day that it's funny because this time 4 years ago they were top of Super League, and obviously now
top of the Betfred Championship,
and obviously now everyone's getting excited because they're top of Championship after one game, and it was like, well, you know, in 2016 we was top of Super League after 7 games. Do you know what I mean? And then even I think. Was it a year change. Before? Was it 2014? I think 2014 was not too dissimilar, where they were certainly up there. They'd won 5 or 6 of the first 7. Yeah, I mean, obviously I went the game against Oldham, and with all due respect to Oldham, it was pretty clear early on that there was only going to be one winner of that game.
Yeah. Do you think Oldham will struggle a little bit on that?
I think they'll be down there, yeah. To be fair to them, they played for the full 80. Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you go to games where it's a bit of a non-contest, and you know the losing team just falls away. But they put in a shift for the full 80. They just weren't good enough. You know, the hooker Gareth Owen. He's a really small, sort of scrawny little lad, but I thought he tackled well and got stuck in. They don't seem to have a great deal of quality in there, but. I think they'll be one of them. There'll be like 4 or 5 teams down there, I think, that'll struggle. For witness, you know, I was actually quite pleased when Tim Sheen said that he was a bit disappointed with a few things, because I thought that was quite a good attitude to have, because even though they won easily, they'd never really... I felt at 40-0 that witness could score however many they wanted. And I just... They never really got out of a gear, if you know what I mean. But I don't want that to sound negative, you know, because I thought, you know, it's a comfortable win. I mean, why bust your balls when you're winning by 30 anyway? I thought Matty Smith kicked well.
Well, he's going to end up being some player this year, isn't he? Obviously, he was on the podcast last week. He was on Love Rugby League last week, so you're a fan of him. And obviously, he's going to be all right on the pitch.
No, the thing, I mean, I said I was on BBC Merseyside on Thursday.
Just dropping that in.
I dropped that in, yeah, if you're listening. Steve Roberts, it's so Steve Roberts keeps ringing me on try time, and they said to me, where do I think Widnes will finish? And I was like, I think they'll make the playoffs. And Steve said, why? And I said, well, if you look at Widnes's 1, 6, 7 and 9, you know, you've got Owens, Craven, Smith and Tompkins. And I just think, I don't think you look at any of the other championship teams and you think I would rather have their 1, 6, 7 and 9 than Widnes's. You know, you've got two lads that have come through the club's academy and you've been there for a long time. I mean, obviously Owen's had a couple of years away, but he's club captain now. You've got Tomkins, who started in the Super League Grand Final, and you've got Matty Smith, who's obviously
won. Done it all.
You know, he's done it all. Yeah, he's still a bit hungry. You've also got the thing that Smith and Tomkins have played for Widnes before as well. So they're not strangers, and you know, they've almost come to Widnes. You know, I'm sure Tomkins could have got a gig somewhere else, but he's decided to come to Widnes. Smith, you know, maybe, I wouldn't say Widnes were Smith's only option, but I think he knows and he appreciates that Widnes is a good option for him at this moment in time. So that was the thing. And I mean, I know people will say that maybe Widnes look a bit short in the outside backs or in the pack or whatever, but I just think that it's a lot easier if you get some money available during the season. I do think it's easier to add a forward than it... You know, like if you were a scrum half, sure, I think it'd be a lot more difficult to pick someone up, up mid-season than it would be. You know, like, obviously you mentioned France before, we spent a bit of time with Jake Emmett over there. He's playing for Carcassonne, and you know, he might become available May, June time. And it's like, well, he's the sort of player, if Widnes have got money, that surely they'd be looking at him to say, well, actually, we might bring him in to bolster the pack. And I just think that, you know, and the same with the dual reg. I know, obviously, the dual reg thing got dragged out, and now they've partnered up with Warrington. I think if you can get forwards and outside backs out of a dual reg, but you're 1-6-7-9, stays the same every week.
Yeah, because they're the most important.
And I think, to be honest, I think that was, you know, I spoke to Phil Finney about the dual reg thing, and that was the point he made, is that you don't want to have a partnership where they want you to play a scrum half or key, you know, someone in a key position, because ultimately,
who doesn't train, he won't train with you, and then he's brought into this team that has sort of got to learn the plays. It's not easy for anyone, is it? A lot of the players are the same, but you that sort of blend, it doesn't exactly.
You've seen it with Josh Woods at Swinton. Like, if he was in the team, you were a lot better than if he wasn't in the team.
Yeah.
And the problem is how can you predict what you're gonna? You know, you might play Featherstone 1 week and Josh Woods was available and you played really well, and then when you play Rochdale a week after, when you really need him, he's not available for a game to win. And so I think Widnes have done the right thing with it comes to dual reg. It'll be interesting to see as and when players do get sent by Warrington, because there's not really been any inkling of that happening yet. I did mean to ask Steve Price the other day, actually, and I just forgot. But I think if you could get Ellis Robson or you know, someone like that, maybe Aquala, I don't know. He played okay against St Helens for Warrington, but you know, I think to be fair, you've got to give a chance to the players that they've already got. I mean, if you look at, to be fair, with all due respect to Oldham and Batley, Widnes is a pretty good start for them, really. You know, to have Oldham away and Batley at home, you know, it's not, I mean, I might regret saying that if they lose against Batley, like, but it's, they're almost like two perfect games to get you started with. Obviously, if they go the wrong way, it's a disaster. But at the same time, it also means that you can say, well, actually, we're going to give our guys a chance to prove themselves without having to worry about bringing in dual reg players for these couple of games. So, and obviously, it then leads them in nicely because they've got, Widnes play London next week. So you've got two games to get to the point where you're like, right,
stuff starts clicking.
Yeah, London's like, this is the first real, you know, and Batley will be a test, but London's the first real.
Did you share the points last year? One loss, one draw with Batley last year.
One loss, one draw, or do you mean one win? One loss, one win.
Yeah,
well, obviously Batley beat Widnes at Batley, and that was when that was basically the start of Widnes' decline last season, because I think Widnes had won seven of the first eight last season and then lost 2018 at Batley, where they missed a penalty. And Jack Owens missed a penalty late on to tie it up, where, I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing. I had a kick to the corner, but because it was a difficult, you know, it wasn't a gimme. And that was the bit of a start of the decline then for Widnes. Until that point, it felt like, you know, they could still do it. But as soon as they lost that match, obviously they had a very young team and they started to, you know, I think that just hit the confidence a little bit. So yeah, you know, Batley at home's not a gimme, don't get me wrong, but I think you'd expect Widnes to beat Batley, and then you'd be able to go into London and say, right, this is your first real test of these playoff credentials. You know, if you beat London, we're on course for top five. If you lose to London, it's like, right, well, we need to look at, you know, why you've lost that game and figure out what you need to change until you get, you know, to get to that point later on in the season.
quick one before we wrap up. You came in Monday morning, I think it was, buzzing about him. Ken Baker.
Or Kenny Baker, yeah.
Was the RFL put on his discipline? Kenneth Baker.
Kenneth, yeah.
Kenneth Baker.
Well, that's it with the player. That's the thing with the player registration, because obviously they use the Sunday names, don't they? Because who's it? What's Jody Broughton, who plays Halifax now, is... His Sunday name is like something different. It's not Jody, and you see him on the list, and you're like, "Who's this? Who's this Joseph they've signed?" I didn't go to any of the friendlies. I can't remember why. I had other things on. I mean, to be honest, I go to that many games. I can't. I stopped going friendlies actually when I actually made a conscious decision not to go friendlies when I sat through them losing 40-0 at home to Warrington, and I think they lost 16-0 away at Warrington friendly. And after, I think, I can't remember which one of them two it was, but I was like, after this one, I was like, I'm not doing That's friendlies it. Anymore. I used to like going just because you'd see the new players and stuff. But yeah, first time I'd seen Baker, and yeah, I think he's just got a bit of a look about him, do you know what I mean? Like, I think he just looks like a... He just looks like the sort of player that you would want to have in your team. That, you know, he's not no frills, you know, you're not want to do anything fancy. He's just honest, you know, hard working and stuff. And I'd never even seen him for North Wales, and I thought he was good. I mean, granted, yeah, they were only playing Oldham, which, you know, we'd have been familiar with from last season anyway. But it's going to be interesting to see how he pans out over the course of the season. You good? Thanks everyone for listening to that episode. Thanks Josh actually for stepping in and providing a little bit of interaction, so it's not just me whipping on. Thanks to Musical All Sorts, PD Law Solicitors, Arnold Gorse Financial Management, and Deals the Jewellers. Obviously, hope you get to the game against Batley on Sunday, and I will see you again next week.